Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a true friend indeed. I love that old hymn that we used to sing in church. And the hymn, the name of the hymn was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I tell you, that hymn just resonates on the heart and soul of so many people who sang that hymn over years past. And if you just really soaked in the words of that old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So tonight's program is going to be a topic that we all need to really do a self-check allocation or an inventory of our heart and ask ourselves, are we truly a friend? What we're going to look at tonight in tonight's program, after coming off a series of Who's Bullying Who, we are going to look at tonight true friendship. And that's going to be the topic of tonight's program, true friendship. What is the mark of true friendship? According to Proverbs 17:17, chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 17, in the New Living Translation, I like the way it reads. It reads this way. This is Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Some translations use the word love at all times. The Bible teaches that true friendship is Jesus, who laid down his life for a friend. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 states it plainly. Read that at your private study time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. So let's not just talk the talk, but also walk the walk, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. It puts it very nicely concerning not just talk the talk about true friendship or even being a friend, but walk the walk. So true friends are ready, willing, and able. And I just wanted to put that introduction into tonight's program because I want to tell a story from the perspective of Ruth. We know the book of Ruth. We've read it time and time again. And for those of you who have not read, please take the time out of your busy schedule to read the book of Ruth. And I just wanted to bring to the program tonight concerning true friendship from the eyes of Ruth. And this tells her story. And I wrote this some years ago when I was attending Christian college. And I did this particular story concerning Ruth for one of my assignments. And the Holy Spirit led me to this project, this paper that I did. And it was so fitting for tonight's program, True Friendship. So if you would just sit back and tune in ears to this story concerning Ruth. And by the way, Ruth's name does mean friendship. So I thought I'd just throw that out there. But I titled this story concerning Ruth as I'm Ready, Willing, and Able. So just follow along with me as I read this and allow it to just really open your eyes to yourself. And you might want to ask yourself, am I a true friend? Do I know what true friendship means? What is the mark of true friendship? Listen to this. Yes, I finally found a husband. His name is Milan. He's from Bethlehem in Judah. Have you been there? I haven't either. My father and mother-in-law, who are named Elimelech and Naomi, and their two sons, Malon and Chilion, left there because of famine in the land. As they arrived to my hometown, Moab, where they settled, my father-in-law died and my mother-in-law suddenly became a single parent. Having said all of that, two things bring me to my story, my life story. I'm a young lady named Ruth, which means friendship. I would not have ever imagined myself living out the very meaning of my name. As I mentioned in the beginning, I married Milan. We were married at least 10 years. Afterwards, my husband died. My mother-in-law and I were devastated because we both lost beautiful loved ones, not to mention widows now. My mother-in-law, Opah, who was my sister-in-law that married Naomi's other son named Chilion, and I prepared all that we had to travel back to the land of Judah. It was said in my homeland that this Lord had visited his people in giving them food. I'm not sure what all of that means, but I am sure about one thing, and that is I wanted to go with my mother-in-law. As we headed out toward the land of Judah, I'll say about a mile or so, my mother-in-law said to Orpah and I, go, turn each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. Do you know what effect that had on me when I heard that? She kept using that Lord again. What does it mean? My sister-in-law and I began to cry uncontrollably loud. In between gasps of air, we said, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. Naomi kept trying to encourage us to go back to our mother's house because she would not be able to bear sons for us to marry again. I know she was concerned about our well-being to marry and start families, but I sensed that this Lord she talked about must be mad at her. She seemed bitter. Even in all of that, Orpah and I continued in our tears. But to my surprise, my sister-in-law gave Naomi a kiss and started to return back to our people and our gods. I just couldn't do it. I love my mother-in-law so much that I pleaded and pleaded with her to let me follow, to the point that I would accept her home, her people, and her God, to the very point of death. This may have struck my mother-in-law by surprise. All I know is she no longer insisted that I follow Orpa. The both of us continued traveling until we came to Bethlehem. All the people looked with commotion, wondering why we returned alone. As I stated earlier, my mother-in-law seems to be bitter toward her God, and as announced to the people to no longer call her Naomi, but Mara, because of the affliction upon her. We arrived during the beginning of barley harvest. Now I am in a new environment, new people, new customs, and new ways of doing things. All that I saw exciting to me. I wanted to eagerly get out in the field and glean. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means gather by hand any usable parts of the crops that remain. I didn't mind working and helping others, something my mother-in-law knew about me. So she gave me the go-ahead to glean. I went about my way and began to work in a portion of the field that belonged to a kinsman whom I did not know. He would meet and greet the reapers with kind words. He noticed me gleaning and asked about me. His servant explained I was a young Moabite woman who returned from Moab with Naomi. I pleaded with him, asking to let me glean and gather. He allowed me to continue, but with special instruction. He said not to go anywhere else to glean, to stay close to his maidservants, and where to go for water. I was so grateful that he has such concern for me, since I am a foreigner. Because of what I had done concerning my mother-in-law, I had favor in his sight, which he blessed me by prayer to God. The hour came for supper, and I was asked by him to come and eat with the harvesters until I was satisfied. They had plenty of food left over. In Deuteronomy 24:19, farmers were commanded to leave a little grain here and there in the field for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. I got up to get back to work before evening, and it was said to the servants to pull out some grain from the bundles for me to glean. I worked hard and long until evening, and all that I had gathered was about an ephah of barley. I looked at all I had back to my mother-in-law. I took all that I had back to my mother-in-law. She was so surprised at what I had brought back. She asked, where did I glean? Where did I work? I told my mother-in-law, a man named Boaz. When she heard that, she immediately began to pray blessings for him about his kin, about his kindness. She said, he is one of our closest friends. I went on to tell her that he gave me specific instructions when working in the field to stay close to his maidservants during harvest time. My mother-in-law is very concerned about my well-being. She instructed me to wash, anoint myself, and put on my best clothes to make myself known to Boaz. Out of obedience to the instructions of my mother-in-law, I followed them precisely, although I did not fully understand. I went to the threshing floor to lie at the feet of my kinsman. This was the custom of the Hebrews, which is the next of kin's responsibility to inherit the property of their kin and widows, that the family name will be carried on. After I saw that Boaz had finished eating and drinking at the threshing floor, I carried out the instructions by laying at his feet. I startled him. He asked me who I was, and I said, Ruth, your kinsman. He was pleased with me because I did what was told and did not go after the younger men. Boaz said that I should lie at his feet until morning. I said that I should get up before anyone could see who I was, and sent me back to the city with a good measure of barley for me and my mother-in-law. As soon as I arrived home to my mother-in-law, she asked me how everything went with our kinsmen. I explained all that he said to me. Naomi told me to wait to see how Boaz takes care of everything concerning my welfare. She said he will definitely take care of it. Well, my mother-in-law was right. He arranged the negotiations with another close relative who was next in line for redeeming the land of my mother-in-law, and took 10 elders of the city as witnesses. I am just amazed at how my kinsman makes provision for his own, provides protection, and now brings security. He's a man of his word. Our closest relative turned over his rights to redeem the land which belonged to my father-in-law, Elimelech. By redeeming the land, he must acquire me and Naomi to carry of the name of my father-in-law. I guess my closest relative didn't want to jeopardize his inheritance, so he turned it over to Boaz to buy. In the exchange of the land, a man had to remove his sandal and give it to another. This is what took place between my closest relatives. All of the elders and people of the city witnessed the sale of Boaz, announced to them all that the land now belongs to him, and he and I will be married to continue the family name. They gave us their blessings. My new husband, Boaz, and I made love, and the Lord blessed my womb to conceive, and I gave birth to a son. The neighboring women named my son Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who bore David, through which Jesus, the Christ, came. I am Ruth, a young woman, in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was ready, willing, and able to do the things of God. And Ruth asks the question, are you? And this is what brings us to our program topic tonight, True Friendship. Are you ready, willing, and able to be a true friend to someone, to show true friendship to someone? The book's message may not have been an affirmation of King David's rights to the throne of Israel. The display of God's providence in bringing this to pass can challenge all Christians to believe that God is at work in their lives as well. The truth of the book for all ages might be started as follows. The Lord is in his business of loving, superintending, and providentially caring for his people. God's people should also be about his business in the ordinary activity of daily living. Since God's people are recipients of his grace, they, like Ruth and Boaz, should respond in faithful obedience to him and in gracious acts toward others. During a period of great responsibility in Israel's history, the book of Ruth was a clear call to responsible living. Clearly, this message is needed today as well. We know that, responsible living. Boaz is an illustration of the greater one, and that's capital O-N-E, who came from his family, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz acted in grace to redeem Ruth. Christ acted grace by giving himself as the redeemer to provide redemption for all mankind. In the Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Ruth's life gives us a beautiful example of the providence of God. He brought Ruth to precisely the right field where she could meet Boaz. God is also portrayed in the book as the model of loyal and abiding love in the book of Ruth. Now, my question is this. When I read this story that I wrote concerning Ruth, and remember, her name means friendship. And when I wrote this and I reread through this, the Holy Spirit revealed to me some questions. And I want to back up a bit in this story. And one question that came to mind was, do your words turn friends to the Lord? Now remember, we're talking about true friendship today. And if you do an inventory of yourself, and this really affected me in my walk, as I want to be a true friend to those paths that I cross or to those relationships that I already have in my life. I want to be a true friend, and this should be the desire of every person walking and breathing on earth. Now, this is expected out of believers in Christ Jesus, because Jesus modeled this for us. He did this. But the question that came to mind was, do your words turn friends to the Lord? Now, if we back up in the story, as I read a question. I read about Naomi asking the girls, Ruth and Orpah. She asked them, and actually she prayed for them. But this is what she said, and I'm just going to back up a few paragraphs, and let me start where it says, my mother-in-law, Orpah, who is my sister-in-law that married Naomi's other son named Chilion, and I prepared all that we had to travel back to the land of Judah. Now, they're preparing to go back to where Naomi is originally from. Because if you've read the story of Ruth, Naomi and her two sons traveled to Moab to find food because there was famine at the time. And so Orpah and Ruth were preparing to go back to where Naomi was from. And it was said in my house, in my homeland, that this Lord had visited his people in giving them food. I am not sure what all of that means, says Ruth. Now, this is Ruth speaking, but I am sure about one thing, and that is I wanted to go where my mother-in-law was from. She wanted to go back. She wanted to go wherever her mother-in-law was going. As we headed out toward the land of Judah, I'll say about a mile or so, my mother-in-law said to my sister-in-law, Orpah, and I, this is what my mother-in-law, according to Ruth, said, go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead, their husbands, or their now dead husbands, and with me, their mother-in-law. So these three women found themselves to be widows. But this is what Naomi says. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. Now, this is the blessing that Naomi spoke over her two daughter-in-laws who are now widows, just as she is. So her words turned her friends to the Lord. And that was the question. As a friend, do your words turn your friends to the Lord? Do they do that? When you are speaking with them or encouraging them or trying to help them or demonstrate friendship in front of them, are you turning them to the Lord? Naomi did this. And this is something to ponder. This is something to reflect on. This is something to think about. True friendship. The second question that came to mind after reading this story concerning Ruth was, she indicated that her mother-in-law seemed a bit bitter. And when they went back to Naomi's hometown in Judah, Naomi sensed something strange about her mother. She seemed mad, as I indicated, or she seemed bitter. And when she returned to her hometown, listen to what Ruth said. She seemed bitter. Even in all of that, Orpah and I continued in our tears, but to my surprise, according to Ruth, my sister-in-law gave Naomi a kiss and returned back to our people and our gods. Now, if you know anything about Moabites, the Moabites, they worshipped foreign gods. They child sacrifices also. So one daughter-in-law went back home to Moab, but Ruth stayed faithful to her mother-in-law at all costs. She went on to point out that I would accept her home. Ruth was willing to accept her home, go back to Judah, and her people and her God to the very point of death. She said, I want your people to be my people, your God to be my God. And this may have struck my mother-in-law by surprise. All I know is she no longer insisted that I follow Orpah, her sister-in-law. So she allowed Ruth to stay with her and go back to Judah. Now, the question that came to mind in this particular section was this. As a friend, stick with me now, as a friend, are you finding yourself to be courageous? Are you finding yourself to be courageous? As a friend, do you seek justice? Do you love mercy? Do you walk humbly with God? Are you a friend that finds yourself to be courageous? Ruth was courageous. It took courage for her to leave what she was used to in a land that she was very comfortable in. She was raised in that type of culture, that type of God-serving, and that was a lower, small G-O-D, gods, foreign gods, and child sacrifices. She was used to that type of culture, that type of behavior, that environment. One sister went back, Orpah. She wanted that she was used to. But are you a friend that finds themselves to be courageous? Ruth was courageous. She took courage to leave and make Naomi's people her people and make Naomi's God her God, a God she was unfamiliar with. She did not know Yahweh God. She did not have any idea who Jehovah God was. But she saw something in Naomi. She saw something different. And she was willing at all costs, even to the very point of death, to go back into a foreign land and become a stranger in a foreign land. She went back to a foreign people and she became a minority instead of the majority. She was courageous. It took courage. Are you a friend that finds yourself to be courageous? Are you going to stand for what is righteous, for what is right? Are you going to love past the unlovable? Are you going to walk humbly before God, with God? And that was just, these are marks of true friendship. And the third question that came to mind as I read through the life of Ruth in first person, this was the other question. Do your friends know something about you that proves true friendship, loyalty, love, and commitment? Do they know something about you that proves true friendship? Can they rely on you? Can they trust you? Do you hold confidentiality to the utmost high? Are you loyal? Are you a man or woman of your word? Do you walk with integrity? Do you love in a way that most Do your friends know something about you that proves true friendship? This is another mark of true friendship. And as Ruth went on to walk toward Judah with her mother-in-law, she began to get eagerly to work. And let me back up, and this is where it starts. It says this, all that I saw was exciting to me. So when she got there, everything she saw was different. It was exciting to her. All she wanted to do is eagerly get out in the field and glean. For those of you who don't know what that means, as she indicated, it means gathering by hand and usable parts of the crop that remain. So I didn't mind working and helping others, is what Ruth said. She didn't mind. Her actions proved that. Something her mother-in-law knew about her. Do your friends know something about you that proves true friendship? This is something her mother-in-law knew, so she gave me the go-ahead to glean. Her mother-in-law said, go ahead, honey. Go ahead and get out there and work. And she went about her way and began to work in a portion of the field that belonged to a kinsman whom she didn't even know. All she wanted to do was eagerly get out in the field and glean. Now, the question was, do your friends know something about you that proves true friendship, loyalty, commitment, love? Think about that. This friendship thing is so important in your Christian walk that we are to be the light of the world. This is a dark time that we're living in. And true friendship is salt of the earth and light of the world. And you'll see where this is going, because as I stated in the beginning of this lesson in this program, that Jesus, who laid down his life for a friend, the Bible teaches that true friendship is Jesus, who laid down his life for us. So let's look at question number 4. I hope you're bringing pen and paper to the table. I hope that you are writing these nuggets down, because this is something to reflect on and do an individual inventory of yourself. Question number 4 came to me this way. Does your friendship show mercy to others? Does your friendship show mercy to others? Does it show mercy to others? Ruth said she was so grateful that he has such concern for, since she is a foreigner. She's a foreigner in a foreign land to her, but foreigner to those that are there. And she could not realize how grateful Boaz was to her. He was a true friend to her. She was grateful. Because of what I had done concerning my mother-in-law, I had favor in his eyes, which he blessed me by prayer to God. Boaz blessed her in more ways than one. So does your friendship show mercy to others? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. So if you could pin that down, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And we're familiar with the Beatitudes, and that's where we're going. But one of the Beatitudes in particular reads this way, Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Now, why do we need to be merciful? One of my commentaries reads this way, and I just thought it was so beautifully put. To be righteous is to give one what he deserves, whereas to be merciful is to give one what he does not deserve. For the kingdom of the heavens, we need to be not only righteous, but also merciful. To receive mercy is to receive what we do not deserve. If we are merciful to others, the Lord will give us mercy, especially at his judgment seat. And this is why we need to be merciful to others. The Lord will give us mercy. Now, isn't that something we want from the Lord? I don't know about you, but I do. So again, when we show mercy, we get mercy. And that is just something so beautiful and wonderful to receive from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives us brand new mercies every day. His grace and his mercy, they are sufficient for the day. So, again, does your friendship show mercy to others? Ponder on that. And if it doesn't, get started. Get started in showing mercy. That's a mark of true friendship. This brings me to my next question. My next question is this. Now remember, this is a story in first person on Ruth and her life. And I'm going to go back, and she says this in her story, out of obedience to the instructions of my mother-in-law, she was following her mother's instructions as to what to do as a Hebrew custom. I followed them precisely, Ruth said, although I did not fully understand. Huh, is that some of us? And she says, I went to the threshing floor to lie at the feet of my kinsman. This was the custom. Now, again, she's a Moabite. They don't have customs like the Hebrew. They don't understand that. So she's a foreigner in a foreign place with different customs, which is the next of kin's responsibility to inherit the property of their kin and widows, that the name will be carried on. Now remember, Naomi lost her two sons and her husband. So the name would not be carried on through that side of the family, because the only ones that were left were women, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. And we know what Orpah did. She chose to stay in Moabite or go back to Moab. So, again, she followed instructions, although she followed instructions precisely to the very dime. She followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. She didn't deviate. She didn't change it up. She just followed, even though she didn't understand. This is a very important point for us as believers in Christ Jesus, especially as a friend, a true friend, following instructions, although she did not fully understand. Now, my question is this. Is your friendship obedient? Is your friendship obedient to the Holy Spirit? And if you're a friend without the Holy Spirit, then I suggest that you stop, drop, and cry out to the Lord to be saved. And if you need help in doing that, I'm here to help you. Let's just do that right now. Father God, I just want to pray with those who are listening tonight that they would cry out to you and bow their head and humble their hearts, Father God, that they would receive salvation in the newness of life, Father God, that they would admit that they are a sinner, that they are saved by faith, saved by grace, believe by faith that you, Jesus, died on that cross for their sins, that they are justified through you, that they turn their heart over to you and receive the gift of life, the Holy Spirit living inside of them, that they would walk out their sanctification through your word, that they would turn to you. Father God, I pray that they would just lift up their hands and ask that you would set up residence in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this with me and you prayed along with me for someone out there that may be listening to this program concerning true friendship, we just believe by faith that someone has accepted salvation tonight, that someone has became a new believer in Christ Jesus, that they have received the Holy Spirit, and that they will walk in the newness of life. So again, my question is your friendship obedient to the Holy Spirit? When things don't make a lot of sense, things just don't make a lot of sense. Are you called to stop, drop, and pray just as we did? Or do you need to know the details of a friend's problem or circumstance? Is that your motivation? Oh, what happened? Tell me all the details. Tell me if he did this to me or to you. Tell me if she did this to you. Or, well, why do I need to pray for you? And how can I pray for you if I don't know the details? Really? Do you really need to know the details? A true friend wouldn't need to know the details. A true friend would just stop, drop, and pray, just as we prayed for someone who may not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Details aren't important. God knows the details. We are his instrument. He will work out the problem, the circumstance, the situation. Remember, one of the questions, the first question that I asked was, do your words turn friends to the Lord? That's the question. So, again, knowing the details of a friend's problem or circumstance is really not all that necessary. When we can turn them to the Lord will work it out for them. He's got it under control. You just be the true friend that you need to be. To the call, stop, drop, and pray. And my last question is this. Before we run out of time, I tell you this has been a true delight to me to walk through the life of Ruth and look at friendship. Remember, her name means friendship. Ruth, the last question that dropped in my mind is this. Does your friendship show faithfulness to the Lord? Or are you worrying along with others? Now, that's interesting. Does your friendship show fullness to the Lord? Or are you worrying along with others? Now let's think about that. Ruth, in her life, indicated this. I'm going to back up to where after she laid with Boaz, after she did precisely what her mother-in-law instructed her to do, as soon as I arrived home to my mother-in-law, she asked me how everything went with our kinsman. I explained all that he said to me. Naomi told me to wait to see how Boaz takes care of everything concerning my welfare. She said he will definitely take care of it. Well, my mother-in-law was right. He arranged the negotiations with another close relative who was next in line for redeeming the land of my mother-in-law and took 10 elders of the city as witnesses. Now, what does that tell you? Naomi was faithful to God in knowing that he would work everything out for their good. And God used Boaz to do it. That's amazing. So does your faithfulness or does your friendship show faithfulness to the Lord? Or are you worrying along with others? Listen to what Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says. Now, write this down because this will mean something to you along the way. And if it doesn't, well, please help somebody else along the way if you say you're truly a friend. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 reads this way. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, has enough trouble of its own. Worrying is a sin. We are not to worry about tomorrow. Well, Ruth certainly didn't. She didn't worry about tomorrow. She trusted her mother-in-law. And then she started over time trusting a God that she did not even know. But because of the God her mother-in-law knew, Naomi, Jehovah God, Yahweh God, God Almighty, she was courageous. And she said, I will make your people my people and your God my God. What does that tell you? Remember, her name means friendship. This is Ruth. Friendship. Faithful. Companion. Friend. Love. Loyal to her mother-in-law. That's a friend. So, that leads me to my last message. What is the mark true friendship? Jesus laid down his life. He gave his life up for humanity. Jesus did this for us. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man can get to the Father but by him and him alone. We are justified by faith, saved by grace. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know the hymn. I'm going to read a few verses from the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And if you know the tune of the words, you can go ahead and sing it while I read it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. So I hope you have enjoyed this program tonight, True Friendship and the Mark of True Friendship. And just think about the questions that were asked of you tonight. Do your words turn friends to the Lord? As a friend, are you finding yourself to be courageous? Do you seek justice? Do you love mercy? Do you walk humbly with God? Do your friends know something about you that proves true friendship, loyalty, love, commitment? Does your friendship show mercy to others? According to Matthew 5 and 7, is your friendship obedient to the Holy Spirit? Things don't make sense. Are you called to stop, drop, and pray? Or do you need to know the details of a friend's problem or circumstance? And lastly, does your friendship show faithfulness to the Lord? Or are you worrying along with your friend? According to Matthew 3:34, we should not worry about tomorrow, because God has already care of today if we just stop, drop, and pray. I thank you for joining me tonight. This has been an awesome walk through the topic tonight of true friendship. Mission from the Heart Radio is so excited for you to be so faithful in tuning into our program every Thursday night. God is growing this program, and he is going to do wonderful things with this program. So if you have time to listen live online, do so at your own comfort time, at your own private Bible study time. You can go back to these programs and listen to these awesome messages that were inspired by the Holy Spirit and just filled with so much word and teaching and compassion. And don't not do yourself a favor and not go back and listen to them online. And also, next Thursday, we're going to start a new teaching track, a new teaching series with my guest host, Pastor Michael Crow. He's been on our program before, and he's coming back again, and I'm super excited. And we're going to look at the book of Judges. We have got to keep ourselves abreast of the Word of God so that we will not be thrown to and fro in the wind. We need to be strong and steadfast and courageous and on the very Word of God. And we're going to be looking at the book of Judges and really walking through this thing so that we can have a good understanding and a simple understanding of what Judges teaches us. And that is so like God, to want us to not be ignorant of God's word, of his teachings, of his principles, especially of how he loves his children. So we know that he is a friend indeed, and he exemplifies that, and he wants us to be the same, a friend indeed. So thank you for tuning in to Mission from the Heart Radio. And if please meet with us again on next Thursday as we walk through the pages of as we walk through the book of Judges. And I just pray that you continue to seek the word of God, seek the Lord in your new walk, and always share the word of God with somebody. That's a true friend. Always remember, the grass withereth, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever. God bless and good night, and thank you for your faithfulness and listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. This has been Carnita Smith.